Besides the fact, as I mentioned earlier, greatly admired on the battlefield as a brilliant strategist. And you combine those two things, a very devout man, very religious man, you just look at the package of the human being that he was, and there's a lot to admire there by anyone who has a similar perspective. So that is why I feel that General Soleimani was so well regarded and so recommended and admired by many people.
Now, Mr. Harris, in February 2022, an interesting incident was reported from Kashmir when Indian military officers were forced to apologize for desecrating a picture of General Soleimani after massive protests. So what message did this particular incident carry in your view?
Well, anytime an adversary desecrates the picture of a national hero, it tells you how afraid they are of him. And so if the Indian officers were desecrating his picture, they were trying to reduce his stature, reduce the admiration that people had for him. People have to realize that wars are won on more than just with bullets and weapons. Well, wars are won by the hearts and minds of people. So by trying to degrade the image of Soleimani, they were trying to degrade the man and trying to reduce his stature and standing among people who shared viewpoints as he shares. So they're trying to belittle him. So that didn't work. The Indian military officers had to apologize for it. So it was really a psychological operation to diminish him because he was so well regarded. He struck fear into his adversaries everywhere he went. Like I said, he was considered to be the General Rommel, who was for the Germans in World War II, their brilliant commander. George Patton for the U.S. was their most brilliant commander. That's how General Soleimani, his stature is like those men, the really great warriors of the past. He was that well regarded.
Now, the resistance brigades of Fatah Miun and Zainab Miun from Afghanistan and Pakistan, respectively, played a key role in the defeat of Daesh in Syria under the leadership of General Soleimani. So, Mr. Harris, how would you describe his leadership of the resistance axis?
Well, the effort in Syria was more than just one man, more than just one group. I myself visited Syria several times during the Civil War, 2014, 15, and 16. And the effort, the acts that Daesh and ISIS were committing were so despicable that they united a resistance against themselves because no one wanted to be like them. And then you look at Daesh and ISIS, they're funded by Saudi Arabia, they're funded by Israel, they had funding by the United States. I was in Syria, had the Syrian Arab Army shared with me U.S.-made TOW missiles that were made by Raytheon Corporation in Tucson, Arizona. How did Daesh get these things unless someone gave them to them? But you look at these things in just the despicable actions against innocent men, women, and children that Daesh was taking, and it formed a resistance that was easy to unite people behind in order to stop Daesh, in order to stop ISIS. Because, like I said, these were the worst of the worst people who were doing these things. And so Soleimani was able to inspire the people to resist them, and not only resist, but to defeat them soundly and to drive them essentially out of Syria. And so that was really his ability to coalesce people around him of different nationalities, from different places, to expel the poison of ISIS, and to get it out of Syria, because no one wants to have that intervene in anyone's life. I mean, when you watch men, women, and innocent men, women, and children slaughtered the way ISIS was doing it, it's easy to get people to unite and to combine their efforts together in order to squash, to destroy that evil in the world. And Soleimani was the right guy at the right place at the right time and did a very, very good job of uniting these different forces behind him in that effort to destroy ISIS, which I congratulate him for. And if I go on a little off topic, it was a very despicable thing that Donald Trump ordered with the assassination of General Soleimani. He was brought there on a diplomatic mission, and they violated all the rules of diplomacy in order to get him into Iraq to blow him up. I again look at this as the Zionists who are behind this, both within the U.S. Trump administration as well as the Israeli administrations. And these are the most evil people in the world. They have no honor. They have no shame. And they are to be despised everywhere they go. And we as humanity need to unite to destroy the Zionist entities anywhere in the world they may exist.
There you have it, Mr. Mike Harris, the editor at Veterans Today. Thank you for being on the program, sir. Love to have you again. Now let's see how people have reacted on social media.
Kashmir-based journalist Lishan Wani in this tweet reported large anti-U.S. protests in Kargil city of Kashmir following the assassination of General Soleimani in a U.S. drone strike in early 2020. Tamer Badawi, a UK-based writer and political analyst, tweeted a picture of a truck somewhere in Pakistan with a painting of General Soleimani, which shows his astounding popularity in the country. Journalist and commentator Sayed Zafar Mehdi wrote about massive protests that erupted in Kashmir after an Indian military officer was accused of burning a photo of General Soleimani in February 2022. He was later forced to apologize. Farrakh Ali Abbas, a Lahore-based biotechnologist, shared a Twitter panel in Pakistan on how much General Soleimani is loved in the country and said a proud nation is paying tribute to a proud personality. New Delhi-based journalist Ozair Rezvi, after General Soleimani's martyrdom, tweeted that his admirers had increased exponentially in India, with Google Trends showing a search for the words, "Who was Soleimani?"
And that was our special episode marking the third martyrdom anniversary of General Soleimani and Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis and the impact these anti-terror commanders have created in South Asia. We shall meet again next week. So till then, take great care.
Insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the program, Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hausa Seminary of Qom. Please stay with us.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Hello everyone, I'm Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi and we're going to be with you with another edition of the program Insights into the Holy Quran. And in this edition of the program, we'll try to discuss the commentary of chapter Shu'ara, the 26th chapter of the Holy Quran. We'll be back after you listen to the verses we're going to discuss in this episode.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم واتقوا الذي أمدكم بما تعلمون
And fear he who provided you with that which you know.
أمدكم بأنعام وبنين
Provided you with grazing livestock and children.
وجنات وعيون
And gardens and springs.
Brothers and sisters, as you were previously with us, we have reached 132nd verse of Surah Al-Shu'ara. وَاتَّقُوا الَّذِي أَمَدَّكُمْ بِمَا تَعْلَمُونَ أَمَدَّكُمْ بِأَنْعَامٍ وَبَنِينَ وَجَنَّاتٍ وَعُيُونَ إِنِّي أَخَافُ عَلَيْكُمْ عَذَابَ يَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ And be in awe of him who has succored you with what you know. He has succored you with cattle and children. أَمَدَّكُمْ بِأَنْعَامٍ وَبَنِينَ وَجَنَّاتٍ وَعُيُونَ And gardens and springs. إِنِّي أَخَافُ عَلَيْكُمْ عَذَابَ يَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ Verily I fear you. The chastisement of a great day. As you were with us, in this seventh section of the chapter, Prophet Hud and his exhorting people to guard themselves against evil has been mentioned. It started with the verse, كَذَّبَتْ عَدُنِ الْمُرْسَلِينَ The odd people belied the messengers because they had rejected their own prophets. Which is أخوهم هود, their brother Hud. Now, their prophet criticized them with a couple of actions. You build a landmark on every height for vain delight. You get strong buildings in hope of living forever. You assault, when you assault like tyrants, so you need to be in awe of Allah. وأطيعون, and obey me. And then this verse continues into the next one. فَاتَّقُوا الَّذِي أَمَدَّكُمْ بِمَا تَعْلَمُونَ You need to be in awe of him who has succored you with what you know. أَمَدَّكُمْ بِأَنْعَامٍ وَبَنِينَ He has succored you with cattle and children. So in these verses, Prophet Hud is explaining the divine blessings to the servants so that in this way he can stimulate the sense of thanksgiving in them. So they may return to Allah. In this concern, he, ala nabiyyina wa alihi wa alayhim as-salam, uses the method of epitome and expansion, which is very helpful for making discussions pleasant. So at first, He says, addressing them, وَاتَّقُوا الَّذِي أَمَدَّكُمْ بِمَا تَعْلَمُونَ Be in awe of him who has succored you with what you know. With what you know. You ought to be in awe of the Lord, who has constantly and regularly gave the bounties you know in abundance to you. But then, after this short statement, he explains it in details, and he goes on, أَمَدَّكُمْ بِأَنْعَامٍ وَبَنِينَ He has succored you with cattle and children. On one hand, he has bestowed you some material capitals, a great part of which at that time in particular was cattle, and on the other hand, he gave you enough human power that you can protect, maintain, and bring him up. And this meaning has been repeated in different verses of the Holy Quran, that at the time of enumerating the material bounties, it first refers to the properties, and then it mentions the human power, that is, the protector, guardian, and fosterer of the properties bestowed by the Almighty Allah.
We hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the ability to cover more of His divine
In this
word.
Series of programs, we will inshallah discuss the Holy Quran with a thematic
approach. We will inshallah discuss the chapter.
وتمثل القرآن في أخلاقه وفعاله فيه الفؤاد تعلقا وتلاه في جنح الدجى متدبرا.
The context in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in this verse is the context of mentioning the ills and problems and evils of the people of the book, the previous nations who have received revelation, and more particularly the Jew.
Now let's listen to some of the verses of the Holy Quran.
First, let's listen to a few verses.
Now let's listen to some verses of the Holy Quran.
Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hausa Seminary of Qom.
So this is the way the Prophet uses to make the discussion pleasant and get them invited to monotheism. Piety is the best way of being in gratitude of Allah. Everybody knows how much the grace of Allah has been bestowed on him. So he says, وَاتَّقُوا الَّذِي أَمَدَّكُمْ بِمَا تَعْلَمُونَ. You know what of the blessings of the Almighty Allah is given to you. If there is not any receptivity and competency in a person, the admonition of prophets is not effective. And in this verse, the Prophet is trying to get the people awake, to awaken them, to awaken themselves, so that they can understand this concept of monotheism and to be in awe of Allah, the one who everybody knows what has given to them as blessings and bestowals. Thank you everyone for staying with us in this episode. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry. In your heart lies the key to unwind all the secrets. This life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.ir. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
When faith begins. This is IRIB English Radio.
please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
انسان را مطمئن می کند ذکر خدا ذکر الله تطمئن القلوب.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of truth. Imam Khomeini's viewpoint on condition of leadership. The person who governs should have a wide knowledge of law as it is referred to in traditions. The tradition that the Islamic jurists rule over the kings, al-fuqaha hukam al-salatin, is undisputed. If kings really followed Islam, they should follow the Islamic jurists and ask their opinion. In this very, the jurists themselves will be the real rulers, and therefore the power should officially be given to them and not to those who are compelled to follow jurists as they do not know the law.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to the program Spring of Truth from IRIB English Radio. I'm your host, Sayyid Mohsin Naqvi, with the viewpoints of Imam Khomeini in regards to the mosque. In one of his speeches, Imam Khomeini has mentioned that trying to restore our mosques to the conditions that they had during the early days of Islam. Take note that there is no retreat or isolation in Islam. Now, in this part of his speech, he's obviously pointing out a very important point that we need to go back to the early time of Islam, the condition of the mosques. Now, what does it mean? Generally, when we hear such things from the scholars, or maybe when scholars are saying like we need to go back towards the early time of Islam, a major concept that appears in the minds of the people is that to go back to that time and have the same appearance. For example, if the mosques did not have the roof, so today the mosque should not have the roof. If mosques were not carpeted, we should not have a carpeted mosque. This is not what they mean, basically. The soul of the mosque, the spirit of the mosque, that's what they mean. They mean that the spirit that we had, the energy that we had at that time, at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the mosque of Medina, we need the same spirit.
Ya Rabbana, salli ala.
when they say that we need to go back, we need to restore our mosques to the conditions they had during the early days of Islam at the time of the Prophet, it means that we need the same spirit, we need the same energy in the people when they were going to the mosque. So it's all about the energy, it's about the spirit, it's about the spirituality which was at that time, it was about the belief that people had, it's about the confidence that people had, and it's all about how people used to follow the Prophet at that time, the same way we need to follow the Prophet. So the mosque is the center of the Muslims. It's the center of gathering. Obviously, at that time, if someone was getting married, maybe they were going to the mosque for the nikah, for reciting the contract of the nikah or the nikah, the marriage contract. But now, if we go to the mosque, we don't do that. Generally, we go to the marriage hall or the other places we celebrate our marriages. But if now we can go to the mosque and have the marriage there, it's the best thing because it will be the simple and the best marriage, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha illa.
Economic divide.
It's called the Inflation Reduction Act. The main purpose? To curb inflation by reducing the deficit, lower prescription drug prices, and promote investing into domestic energy production while promoting clean energy. What is the key phrase? Domestic clean energy production. Why is that important? Which has angered the EU and even South Korea? Hi, I'm Kavit Tahwi. That is what we're going to find out in this edition of Economic Divide. Coming up in this program, the Inflation Reduction Act, $430 billion, massive new green energy subsidy package. But what does it do? EU companies will suffer because of the US tax breaks. That's one of the things that it will do. Then the Inflation Reduction Act, the IRA precondition, components used in renewable energy technologies like electric cars on condition that they are made in North America. That is the problem. How is that a problem for the EU? We're going to explain that to you coming up. Also, taking a look at the EU fight back, France and Germany taking the lead to counter with an ambitious green industrial policy. But the key question is, was all of this pre-planned by the U.S.?
The COVID crisis, which began to spread globally in 2019, plus the Ukraine war, which started in 2022, have caused dramatic shifts in the economies of major global powers. The conjunctural crises have pushed countries to adopt policies that mark a shift away from globalism. One of those countries is the U.S. The trend began during the tenure of former U.S. President Donald Trump, but the same policies have more or less continued during the administration of President Biden. The Biden administration has adopted a more cooperative approach toward European countries, yet at the same time it has pursued its own interests at the expense of its European partners. One of those moves has been the Inflation Reduction Act, which was passed in August of 2022, just a few months into the Ukraine war. The law, as passed, will raise $738 billion and authorize $391 billion in spending on energy and climate change. Among other issues, The landmark package comprises tax credits for electric cars made in North America and supports U.S. battery supply chains. That is why it has angered Washington's European allies. European officials have expressed concern about the financial incentives offered to U.S. companies.
The U.S. President Joe Biden's Inflation Reduction Act is something that has been introduced and signed off. It took a while for him to actually get that signed off and get the approval through Congress and mostly its Democratic, I guess, lawmakers. But the Americans are not exactly sure what it's going to do. That is not the focus of what we went after when we looked up some of the social media posts on this. First, however, let's take a look at what it stated that this IRA is going to do. It's going to deliver for American families, advancing the most aggressive action in terms of what it introduces on climate change, and that's a first in American history, and it will grow the economy, the U.S. economy, from the bottom up and the middle out. Okay? Now, why EU leaders are upset over Biden's Inflation Reduction Act? Goes on to say that EU leaders, when it comes to the IRA, will unfairly discriminate against European firms. That's what the IRA, according to the source, is going to do. Now, with the IRA giving generous subsidies to American businesses, the EU is now considering a subsidy program of its own. So the birth, maybe, of a trade war between the EU and the U.S. on this particular green energy realm. And then, additionally, this article went on to say, EU wants to counter fears that the EU was a waning industrial power. Others jumped towards subsidies and protectionism to shield local industries during a recession and tough economic times. Next up, Washington is facing a backlash from its European allies. The EU, Britain, and others have voiced concerns over U.S. Inflation Reduction Act. EU considers the act discriminatory against European manufacturers. And the next entry, Inflation Reduction Act, is in clear violation of CORUS FTA. What is CORUS FTA? That's the Korean-U.S. Free Trade Agreement. This article said whereby Korean electric vehicles, or EVs, and batteries will have their tax credits denied or significantly curtailed. It is a clear violation of international trade norms. And it also says it denies tax credits of up to $7,500, which it did last month, to buyers of EVs manufactured outside of the country, as stipulated in the act. Now, this particular article that we just cited, I want to make sure that it was a website article based on what I'm reading to you, which it was. So you can see that the IRA is affecting Europe, it's affecting South Korea, and who knows how it will affect other countries that have anything to do with production, especially inside the U.S. All right, let me introduce our guest for the first segment of our Q&A. Bill Still joins us. He's an investigative journalist and award-winning filmmaker. Documentaries, including The Money Masters, The Secret of Oz, and also Jekyll Island, The Truth Behind the Federal Reserve. Well, Bill Still, welcome to Economic Divide. The Inflation Reduction Act, I don't need to introduce that to you especially. You know what that is. It's supposed to be a massive new green energy subsidy package. And at the same time, what it's supposed to do is it's supposed to reduce inflation. EU countries, however, are worried that this is going to affect them because of the tax breaks that the U.S. has given in this act when it comes to, for example, renewable technologies on electric cars, for example. Can you please explain how this whole thing, what it is and how it is affecting European companies?
Well, first of all, Biden's Inflation Reduction Act is a joke here in the United States. It's not reducing inflation. In fact, it's doing just the opposite by providing huge amounts of money to Biden's friends and political supporters. It not only enriches them, which is a short-term policy, but long-term greatly weakens the long-term prosperity prospects of the United States.
Okay, that's what Bill Still thinks about the Inflation Reduction Act. So much for what Biden said is working from the bottom up. Next guest is Martin Seif. He's a former managing editor, international affairs, and former chief news analyst for United Press International, better known as UPI. Now, he has covered Washington policy making and politics for 37 years for UPI and the Washington Times. Martin Seif, welcome to Economic Divide. We have this $430 billion IRA, Inflation Reduction Act. It's a massive green energy subsidy package. At the same time, it's supposed to bring down inflation. It has other purposes that it serves, especially for the U.S. domestically. But it also is creating this schism between the EU and the U.S. because EU countries are worried that the incentives here that are green energy related is going to entice factories in the EU to actually move into the U.S. Can you please explain how this whole thing is going to happen and whether this is true? And do Europeans actually have something to worry about?
It's a very difficult situation indeed, as you will gather. The United States, in practice, did allow for many years, even decades, liberal imports of technology from Europe and, of course, especially of advanced engineering from Italy, Germany, France. And this was greatly to the advantage of the United States, whose own industrial base was decaying in those areas. But what we now see is different imperatives are conflicting with each other. As you rightly pointed out, the European fears are correct ones at the very time when their own energy costs are soaring, precisely because they are following the US lead in both energy policies and trying to punish Russia with economic sanctions. And therefore, and of course, Russia is a major oil, global natural gas and oil exporter. So global prices are soaring. Europe is suffering on this much more than the United States because the United States produces enough oil and natural gas, so it has been curtailing it because of these very same green environmental policies. The green environmental policies, however, are causing energy prices to rise in the United States too. And Biden is trying to offset this, the Biden administration, by generating more jobs in the so-called green economy. The problem is the green economy is not cost effective. It works, but it is expensive. Green energy is not cheap energy. If you want cheap energy in the world, you have to go to oil and natural gas. You cannot change the laws of physics and therefore of economics. And that is what they are trying to do.
We've reached the info news section of the program where we cover economic news from around the world. First up, this concerns Russia and Iran in terms of trade between the two countries. Major Russian bank has launched a new service inside the Islamic Republic. Individuals and businesses in both countries can now be able to conduct cross-border transactions. What does that mean? It will allow money to be sent between those two countries using account details within one day. So that is very important, how that is contributing to expediting the money transaction that takes place. Next up, taking a look at the U.S. effort to try to gain Africa and obviously its trade in terms of relationship overall. It's using Africa, however, as a stepping stone against China. That's the bad part. Washington's multi-billion dollar investment pledge, which it has done, only exists because African nations are needed to, according to the U.S., counter Beijing's influence. Now, the U.S. has accused its rival of employing so-called debt traps in reference to China and other expansionist policies across the African continent. South Korea is our next topic in terms of how the economy is doing there, and this is something that is very worrying because the country has warned of deepening economic slump. South Korea, Asia's fourth largest economy, is widely expected to see growth fall below 2% next year. The reason that it gives, the effects from a global economic slump. So watch out, South Korea. And, of course, South Korea imports the products from around the to many countries around the world, so that's not good news also for those on the receiving end. Taking a look at Peru, which is our next topic, and the political crisis in that country, this is something that's very worrying. An apparent coup has taken place. However, now the U.S. is being blamed for it. CIA agent turned U.S. ambassador met with the defense minister of Peru one day before the president was overthrown. This goes back to now roughly about 2 weeks, but we thought that it's worthy of highlighting it. Now, one day before that coup, the name of that U.S. ambassador, Kenna, met with Peru's defense minister. The defense minister then ordered the military to turn against Castillo. Why did we pick this? Because all of this was politics and nothing in terms of the economy. Well, a couple reasons. Peru is filled with natural resources, and also because the president, Castillo, which we can't call him a former president yet, was responsible for bringing in this view of trying to elevate the economic status of the indigenous people. Sound familiar? That's something that happened in Bolivia. Anyways, this is going to be the topic of one of our upcoming programs. Please tune in for that. That does it for our coverage of the four topics we had for our InfoNews section.
Economic Divide. The series looks at the financial health of the economies around the world and its impact on countries. You can listen to Economic Divide on Mondays and Tuesdays on IRIB English Radio.
Time now for the in-depth section of the program. Now, listening to the U.S. President Joe Biden on the Inflation Reduction Act, you would think that America has single-handedly rescued the world from things like inflation or climate change or corporate greed for that matter. But that is not the case, and Europe is finding this out the hard way through its money purse. Okay, first off, high natural gas prices. They are pushing European manufacturers to shift to the U.S. Now, this we figured we'd just give to you as a statement. The Ukraine war is driving up energy costs in Europe, while relatively stable prices and green energy incentives, well, they're luring companies to the U.S. That is basically what has occurred in terms of the crisis that Europe is experiencing. Now, in terms of the industries from Europe that are relocating to the U.S., three ran at the top of the list. You have the steel industry, you have factories that produce fertilizers, and also factories that produce feedstocks. These, by the most, compared to other industries, use a lot of energy. And I mean a lot. Now, for the doubters about the high EU energy costs that I was talking about and why EU factories are concluding that it is best to perhaps relocate to the U.S., Europe's energy crisis, cumulative cost, will be around $1 trillion. Not good news for Europe. These high prices will last, actually, for years. And there will be no relief until the year 2026. Well, as such, EU gas prices will be five times more expensive than in North America. Now, in the meantime, the true colors of the IRA have come to light, which has made the EU balk at these green energy prospects. And that is the plan that dictates that the components used in renewable energy technologies, like electric cars, are in the condition that they are made in North America. So there you go. That's the big whammy that the Europe is finding out the hard way. Let me have our guest rejoin us for a breakdown. Bill Still, investigative journalist and award-winning filmmaker, rejoins us. Bill Still, welcome back to Economic Divide. Taking a look at what is occurring here, we have France and Germany who are hoping Europe to boost efforts to develop this ambitious, as they call, green industrial policy. But the paper that they've proposed has four objectives in it. At the same time, when energy is so expensive and it's so scarce in Europe, and in terms of even having factories that are struggling to get it, how can Europe even think of going green, let alone develop a green plan in order to counter the U.S.'s Inflation Reduction Act?
Boy, all I can say is things are not as they seem right now. The United States is in such a chaotic situation because of the Biden administration is so corrupt that what appears on the surface is usually the truth is just the opposite. Biden doesn't care what it does to Europe. Whatever weakens Europe relative to China will become the Biden policy objectives until he leaves office. What your audience may not realize is that the U.S. under Biden has become much more autocratic, even dictatorial.
All right, Bill Still thinks Biden is dictatorial. Let me reintroduce Martin Safe, former managing editor in international affairs and former chief news analyst for United Press International, to see what he thinks. Martin Safe, welcome back to Economic Divide. So far, in terms of the U.S. response, it has been open in terms of the IRA vis-a-vis Europe to amend some of the clauses, tweak maybe the Inflation Reduction Act overall. Analysts are warning that Europe is actually going through a deindustrialization process. Like Germany, at the top of the list. All the U.S. can do now is to come up and say, okay, maybe we can tweak it. The question needs to be asked is, was the U.S. actually aware when writing the Inflation Reduction Act, that this is what it would do to Europe? Was that pre-planned, do you think?
This is an extremely important question, and I think there is no straightforward answer. I think there are a number of key policymakers who were very well aware of the inherent contradiction here. You are absolutely correct. But from my own years of interacting with policymakers and covering the policy debates on Capitol Hill, I would say that a large number of legislators on both sides of the House, both Democrats and Republicans, and think much more Democrats than Republicans, believe so passionately in green energy. I think that even insofar as American policymakers were aware they were putting Europe at a disadvantage, they had no idea what the catastrophic cumulative effects were going to be. They had no idea of the economic avalanche and catastrophe they were triggering in Europe. As you rightly say, Europe is now on a road to deindustrialization, and the worst winters its Western European populations have experienced in well over 75 years, since 1945 to 1947, immediately after World War II. This is very serious. It is going to get much worse. And I do not think the American policymakers even now realize the extent of the economic catastrophe which they are helping bring about in Europe.
Now mounting concerns about the package not only in Europe but also in Asia. Among European leaders, there's the fear that the continent was a waning industrial power, sticking to free and open trade ideals, while others jumped towards subsidies and protectionism to shield local industries during a recession and tough economic times. There are disagreements among European leaders about how to counter the U.S. moves. In essence, the EU is worried about potential new trade barriers on European electric vehicle producers. Fears are that disagreements could lead to a trade war and weaken the United stance over the war in Ukraine. Is now considering subsidies to give emerging green technology companies enough seed money to develop in a competitive global market. The main challenge is that such funds are spread equitably across the bloc. The concern is that wealthy and technology-savvy nations like Germany and the Netherlands would be the only ones to thrive, and the EU is not the only one that is concerned. South Korea, for instance, has also brought up the same concern. The policy adopted by the Biden administration could worsen the already tense trade war between the U.S. and China.
There are many negatives when it comes to the Inflation Reduction Act. This is what we will be covering in this segment of the program. First, the White House claimed that the Inflation Reduction Act would cut the deficit by hundreds of millions of dollars in order to reduce inflation. Not only will that not happen, now we learn that was apparently never the plan. The White House insisted that the IRA would in fact bring inflation down because the massive climate and clean energy spending in the law was offset by even larger tax increases, which purportedly reduced the federal budget deficit by $275 billion. And as the White House explained in a fact sheet, reducing the deficit will help fight inflation, even the so-called reduction. It is minuscule. It is said that it would reduce inflation by around 0.1 percentage points by the middle of the first decade. Now, the White House admits that it never intends to use that $275 billion to curb inflation. The intent was to spend it. In fact, Biden did so almost immediately after signing the Inflation Reduction Act into law. Within days, he announced his massive student loan forgiveness, a plan that will cost between $605 billion and $1 trillion. While the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office outs the price tag at about $400 billion.
Using the authority Congress granted the Department of Education, we will forgive $10,000 in outstanding federal student loans. In addition, students who come from low-income families, which allowed them to qualify to receive a Pell Grant, will have their debt reduced $20,000. Working and middle-class people hit especially hard during the pandemic, making under $125,000 a year. You make more than that, you don't qualify.
Another problem with the Inflation Reduction Act is in clear violation of KORUS FTA, the Korea-U.S. Free Trade Agreement, in reference to South Korea. South Korea states that the electric vehicles, EVs, and batteries will have their tax credits denied or significantly curtailed by the U.S. It says that it's a clear violation of international trade norms. The U.S. Inflation Reduction Act also breaches international trade rules, another point that was raised by the EU similar to the concern of South Korea. The EU is worried about potential new trade barriers on European electric vehicle producers, just like South Korea. The Director General of the World Trade Organization has said that countries need to be very careful that whatever policies they are taking should not be discriminatory and should not favor domestic goods in reference to the US. I'm Mahdi Abbasian, and it's the end of this segment of the program.
We have learned in this program, at least, that the Inflation Reduction Act, as the name indicates, should reduce inflation. That's the minimum it can do. But it does not even do that. Now, there are two serious points, however, that needs to be addressed in conclusion. One of them is the fact that you have the U.S. Fortune 500 companies and conglomerates who are going to be the real winners of this Inflation Reduction Act. And the biggest losers? EU countries. How will the EU counter the IRA and believe that they will win in this? Well, it's going to be very interesting to see how that's going to happen, because when and if that happens, there's going to be a divergence when it comes to the EU-US relationship, and that will be affected. And we have to wait and see what will happen. That is for this edition of the program. We really enjoyed having you with us. For Mikko Vitale and the team, it's goodbye until the next Economic Divide.
First methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis-sabri was-salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sayyid Muhammad Rizvi.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah alladhi la ilaha illa huwa al-Halim al-Kareem. Wa nashhadu anna Muhammadan nabiyyahu wa habiba. سيد المرسلين والشفيع المبنبين ورحمة للعالمين صلى الله عليه وآله الداعين لا سبيل الله بالحكمة والموزة الحسنة. The month of Jamadi al-Thani, Jamadi al-Thaniya or Jamadi al-Akhir. This is the month where we remember Fatima al-Zahra salawatullah alayha. And I would like to dedicate this second khutbah in her memory by looking at the ayat in Surah Ahzab, Surah number 33, ayat 35, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the virtues and excellence in human beings. What does he expect from those who are true Muslims and true believers? And all these examples mentioned in this ayat, basically for us, the prime or par excellent example for that is Fatima Zahra for us. Interestingly, this is an ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has gone, you know, out of the way from the style which is there in the Arabic language, in the Quran, because you will see most of the verses of Quran, as far as the language is concerned and the grammar is concerned, it uses masculine forms. Although the messages are for both male and female. Very few ayat are there is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a way emphasizes both. And one of those most important ayat is this ayat, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeats these qualities in masculine form and then feminine form, to emphasize that these qualities and virtues can be found in both genders. Both have the potential of reaching to the highest level. And it starts with the words, إِنَّ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَالْمُسْلِمَاتِ وَالْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ. Look at the dual, you know, repetition there. والقانتين والقانتات والصادقين والصادقات والصابرين والصابرات والخاشعين والخاشعات والمتصدقين والمتصدقات والصائمين والصائمات والحافظين فروجهم والحافظات والذاكرين الله كثيرا والذاكرات أعد الله لهم مغفرة وأجرا عظيما. You know, it's interesting. At the end, he goes back to the old style. The last sentence ends with the masculine form. Allah has prepared for them, for lahum. You know, but before that, you will see he talks about Islam, Muslim and Muslima, which is the initial part of this journey, where verbal declaration becomes important as far as the dunya is concerned. But then, wal mu'mineen wal mu'minat, iman is there. Because that is the key to paradise. That is actually your miftah of Jannah. This is because iman is the requirement for admission into the Jannah. And then we come to number three, al-qanitat, qunut. Qunut here means obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you have Islam, you have iman, an immediate impact of that would be obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And with that comes one of the fundamental qualities of a believer, was-sadiqeen was-sadiqat, truthfulness, sadiq. And in going in that path with, truthfulness, you're going to face challenges and difficulties. Where then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, was-sabireen was-sabirat, patience and sabr is very important. وَالْخَاشِئِينَ وَالْخَاشِئَاتِ. You also, once you reach to the higher levels, don't become arrogant. Humility is very important. And then, do not even just stop to yourself. You know, look around. There are duties that we have. وَالْمُتَصَدِّقِينَ وَالْمُتَصَدِّقَاتِ. The issue of giving sadaqah, taking care of those who are less fortunate than yourself as far as the dunya is concerned. وَالصَّائِمِينَ وَالصَّائِمَاتِ. Continuing with the issue of personal, sifat and qualities. الصَّائِمِينَ وَالصَّائِمَاتِ. This is the issue of fasting. That is the spiritual plan of, you know, how to control our own desires, strengthen our spirituality. وَالْحَافِظِينَ فُرُوجُهُمْ وَالْحَافِظَاتِ. And the most important quality in that path is those who are chaste, those who protect themselves as far as their sexual behavior is concerned. And finally, Allah ends with the words, وَالذَّاكِرِينَ لِلَّهِ كَثِيرًا وَالذَّاكِرَاتِ. Those who do the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala often. Here, zikr doesn't refer to tasbih. It is referring to this consciousness of Allah's presence in our life. to know that He is there. It is that feeling which will prevent us from going into the wrong path. And then he says, أَعَدَّ اللَّهُ لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةً وَأَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. For such people, Allah has prepared in the Akhirah, the most important gift is maghfirah, forgiveness. And ajran azima, and the great reward for them in the Akhirah. Salawat.